The Buffalo Bills, they were football challenged on the weekend. Now, the Steelers, I think a lot of people were a little unsure what to make of them heading into the season. So they have a good performance against a team that people are high on in the Bills. And, you know, maybe it's less the Bills underperformed and it's more the Steelers are better than we expected. What was your kind of big picture read on that game?
Well, I think both sides are right. I think the Steelers' defense, I don't think we credit them enough with how good they are and what Keith Butler has done. Look, Josh Allen has never lit up the Steelers. Yeah, he beat them in 2019 and beat them again in, you know, last season. But his worst game of the season last year came against Pittsburgh in a win where Taron Johnson had a pick six of Ben Roethlisberger, and then they kind of got a little bit of success last year. But this was the Bills offensive line really struggled. We talked about how good T.J. Watt is. Obviously, Melvin Ingram had a massive impact on this game. And for everybody saying, oh, this is the key to beat Josh Allen, you know, you get pressure on him with four guys. And, yeah, that's the key to beating any quarterback. Isn't that what they say about Patrick Mahomes? Yeah, so you don't have to blitz anybody. And you can have seven guys in coverage. Like, this is such a, you know, and we know, and I'm sure you guys talk about it, just overreaction week one. Like, pump the brakes before we, like, all of a sudden forget that what Josh Allen did over 18 games last year.
Yeah, so then you're not overly concerned. Like, what did you think of his week one performance? Missed a couple of deep balls. Doesn't seem like anything that was a massive crisis.
No, I think he was maybe a little bit amped up. I think we're so excited to have Bills Mafia back and what the crowd was going to do to the opposing team. Not to say that Josh has struggled at times with home crowds, but he's admitted that he does get maybe sometimes overly amped up, and he even said that maybe he was looking at his feet a little bit too much because of the pressure that the O-line was allowing. And just a couple of those things, like, there were chances. Like, that touchdown pass to Gabe Davis was one of the best throws of the week, but it gets overlost in a bunch of other plays that he wants back. So I'm not ready to hit the panic button yet. This was I think we need to give a little bit more credit to the Steelers' defense. And also, the Steelers team has a lot of pride, and the Bills went in there in 2019 and beat them on Sunday Night Football to clinch a playoff spot. Then they beat them again last time at home. So I think the Steelers team, like a lot of teams are going to do this year, are going to circle the Bills on their calendar as a team they want to, you know, beat. And handling expectations is going to be something new for the Bills because they've never had this expectation of Super Bowl goals or this expectation to win. And that's something new. Last year, they were kind of the darling, and people thought, well, they could be pretty good. But now it's a whole new can of worms this year. And so what? They laid an egg week one. It happens. There's 16 games left. That's kind of my take.
Well, and yeah, you have one extra game to turn it around. Last year, we'd only have 15 left. You know, that's the thing I've been wondering about this Buffalo team heading into the season is, as hard as it is to climb the mountaintop, and okay, they haven't made it to the absolute peak of it, but they're up there. It's really hard to stay up there when teams expect things of you, when you expect teams of yourself. And like you said, it's just a team that everyone, there's not the Steelers for sure. They've had the battles with these teams. Yes, they're going to. That's an AFC team that they think they could potentially see in the playoffs. But no matter who they're playing, they're going to look at the Bills as a statement game that they can make if they're able to succeed. You know, we talk so much heading into the season about the run-pass offense or the run-pass balance that teams across the league are doing. This isn't a Buffalo thing. They throw the ball over 50 times. You know, Singletary has 11 carries, Braid has 4, McKenzie has the 1. You know, what do you make of the kind of run pass balance? And, you know, it's not just a Bills thing. This is a thing across the league now.
Yeah, the Bills never had this problem for, I don't know, a decade of saying, wow, they're passing the ball too much. That was never the issue. And all of a sudden last year when the Bills went as Josh Allen went, and all of a sudden when they were throwing the ball 75 times, you know, 75% of their time, And guess what? The Bills were also the first team last year. They were number one in the league on throwing the ball on first down, and they had so much success. And a lot of times this offseason, we've talked to Brian Daboll, we've talked to Sean McDermott, and they will give the cliche answers of, you know, we'll do whatever it takes to win. If we got to run the ball 50 times, we'll do it. If we got to pass the ball 50 times, do it. At some point, I'm almost expecting Brian Daboll to come back and say, guys, I scored 500 points last year. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, do you want to run the ball more and score less points? Like, this is an offense. As I said last year, I think when I was on with you guys, they didn't bring in Stephon Diggs to run block. They didn't, you know, have Cole Beasley there to be a decoy. They have built this offense around Josh Allen to air it out. That's what the modern-day NFL is. You know, this is kind of what the NFL has turned into. You see Patrick Mahomes. And, yeah, it would be nice to have a balancing act, but Brian Daboll's still one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. One bad game, one bad fourth down call doesn't take that away either. there are a lot of people around the league that think Brian Daboll is one of the best play callers, in-game adjusters around the league that I've talked to. So I think that this is going to be the type of offense that they're going to have where Josh is going to throw it 40 times a game. I think that's where they are. They're not good enough yet at running the football. They don't have the running backs to carry the load. Devin Singletary is not going to be a guy that gets 20 carries. Zach Moss is a surprise healthy scratch before the game, which none of us expected. And this is going to be a team, I think, that still wants to put pressure and spread teams out. And they're going to run the ball probably with Josh. I had one of my hot takes before the season is I thought Josh Allen could lead the team in rushing again. He did it in 2019. I wouldn't be wouldn't blow my mind if he did it again because of what he can bring. Teams now know that Josh is going to throw the ball more. I think he could see some lighter boxes, which would open up more chances for him to run.
So what are your thoughts on the rest of the division? I'm a Jets guy myself. I'm sorry to report we are not good.
We're sorry for you too, Justin.
Yeah. Do you have any concerns with the Patriots, the Dolphins? I assume my Jets aren't scaring you too much.
No, not necessarily. And we talk about, how Josh Allen has statistically in his career not played, hasn't put up big numbers against the Steelers. I think it's a perfect time for a bounce back game is for him to play Miami, a team that he has absolutely dominated in his career, 5-1. He's got 20 total touchdowns to just four interceptions. He was the player of the week last season off both games he played Miami. So if there's ever a time, because Bills Mafia is, rightfully so, nervous. They're saying, what's happening? Where was the offense? All of these things. The Bills can go down to Miami, can put up some points, and kind of put all of that to bed. I do like what they've done offensively. I think Jalen Waddle for the Dolphins is a good pickup. I still think they have some issues on the defensive line side. I don't know if they'll be able to generate the pressure that T.J. Watt and Melvin Ingram were able to do. And, New England, Mac Jones looked good for a rookie. But there were a lot of people talking that he's obviously this great quarterback that's going to get the Patriots back to the postseason in the blink of an eye. And I still think they have some issues offensively. Look, they can't be any worse, the Patriots offense, than they were last year, where I couldn't name a wide receiver on New England's offense when they played the Bills in Buffalo. But I think that there are some pieces. And look, the Bills aren't going to go 6-0 in the division this year like they did last year. The division got better. There's more talent. And again, that Belichick and Flores, they're circling the Bills. Like this is the team now that at the top. It always used to be you're trying to, catch Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now you're trying to catch Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. And the immense amount of respect that they built, the Bills now are the ones that have to deal with all of a sudden going from the hunters to the hunted. And it's a different mindset.
Yeah, they flat out have become the hunted, and it's based on nothing other than the performance they've had. I do want to look at the defensive side of the ball. They went out and their big draft selection this year was Rousseau. Are they going to be kind of second guessing themselves that they didn't get into the pass rushing market with some more experienced guys? It does feel like if they're able to, we talked about how important it is to be able to pressure a guy like Josh Allen. Conversely, on the other side of things, maybe it's not this week with Tua, but they're going to run into talented quarterbacks. Are they going to be, is that going to be the thing that kind of holds back the defense this year is the ability to rush the passer?
They're really happy with the additions they've made, especially in the draft. I know Boogie Basham was inactive. He was their second-round pick out of Wake Forest. But Greg Rousseau, the defensive end out of Miami, has really flashed in training camp and in preseason. The guy's a giant. He's like 6'9". He looks like a string bean. And then all of a sudden, we saw him in the preseason bull rush people and show the strength and turned a lot of heads of going, oh, maybe they're onto something here. This was a guy who has a freshman at Miami, had 10 sacks, and then sat out the COVID year. His mom was a COVID nurse, so he wanted to just kind of be with his family. But Rousseau has had a big impact, and he started when we all thought that A.J. Epenesa was going to start. He was the Bills' top pick in 2020. So I think they've invested so much capital into this draft, getting defensive linemen, adding them, things like that. Look, they had to pay Josh Allen a lot of money. You're going to have to pay Stephon Diggs, all of these things. They have invested so much heavily, even going back to Ed Oliver in 2019. He was the 9th overall pick. They have spent so much draft capital on this defensive line. Now, it is easy to hindsight and look back and go, I can't believe Melvin Ingram signed so late to the Steelers for 1 year for $4 million and saw what he did to Deion Dawkins. But I think they want to try and do that Brandon Bean draft, develop, sign technique. But they have high hopes for this defensive line.